With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's just really interesting that kind of you can meet people that have such a big impact on your life that your life completely changes and your direction changes and kind of it opens up a whole new world to you.
Laura Babb's sliding doors moment came when she met a guy called Pete. She'd barely picked up a camera before then, but Pete showed her how to use her brand new compact and eventually he married Laura. I'm Matt Bowen. This is Phototypes.
It's Matt freaking Bowen.
Oh my gosh!
Before Laura Babb became a photographer, she used to close down crack houses and dish out asbos. Since she stopped doing that, though, she's crafted an impressive wedding photography business and now curates her own successful photography festival in Wales. If you thought you knew everything there is to know about Laura, I think you're about to be surprised. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
As I ask everybody when we start this podcast, have a look around you and tell us what you can see in your immediate vicinity.
Really? How embarrassing. Well, I'm in my office, which is a kind of tiny single bedroom in my house that I share with my husband. He's sitting next to me working on some graphic design stuff. I've got my two plastic flamingos behind me. And then basically quite a lot of tat that I've gathered from various weddings and style shoots along the way. All of the wedding favours I've ever been given, bits of tinsel and glitter and all of that sort of thing, really.
Nice. And I've started to add this as a supplementary question, but is it a tidy office or is it quite messy?
Of course not. We just had a tidy up. When I say we, I mean Pete, my husband, because I was having a small meltdown before I spoke to you. So it's tidier than it was 20 minutes ago, but it's still not great. But that's fine, right? If you're creative, you're allowed to have a messy office.
So. Yeah, that's what I say to Alice. I say, you know, don't touch anything on my desk. It's all in the right place for where I need it to be. She thinks it's messy. I know exactly where everything is.
Organised chaos.
Yeah, exactly. But amongst that, you can kind of channel yourself and focus on what you need to do.
For the most part.
I'm very easily distracted. Are you quite focused?
Terrible. Yeah, that's why I'm on social media all day, every day. Because, I mean, when I'm editing, for example, I probably edit three pictures in sequence and then go off and check Facebook, which is terrible. This is why it takes me so long to do anything.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Productivity is not my watchword.
No, likewise.
For those people who don't know you, just describe yourself as a photographer. What sort of photographer are you?
I'm a wedding photographer. I hate slotting myself into one of those documentary alternative whatever boxes, but I suppose if I was to describe my work, it would be sort of creative documentary. So documentary photography, but quite colourful. And I do tend to attract quite alternative clients and quirky couples as well.
Did you set out to do that, or is that something that's just happened along the way?
Yeah, I kind of did. I think when I first started, my emphasis and focus was a little bit different. I was really into kind of details and the styling, and I wanted to work with sort of quite alternative couples. So I sort of targeted like blogs like Rock and Roll Bride quite a lot. And I did a competition quite early on in my career to give away free wedding photography to kind of my ideal client to sort of build my portfolio. But as time's gone on, my focus has changed quite a lot. And actually the details, whilst they're lovely and obviously make everything look pretty, they're not as important to me anymore. So I've definitely moved to having more of a documentary focus, but I've still sort of carried on attracting those quite creative couples.
Cool. So what's your story then? How did you get to the moment you're now in?
Okay. So how far back do you want the story to go?
Well, let's not go back all the way to your birth. Because
yeah, I don't remember that, so anything prior to 19 is a bit of a blur.
Let's go back to sort of university times and what did you study there, and then how did you get from there to now?
So I'm a university dropout. I studied English literature and drama for about a year, but also had quite a healthy clubbing career on the side. So I'd be travelling all over the country every weekend to go to clubs like Gatecrasher in Sheffield and other trance clubs. This is really cringy now I'm thinking back about it, you know, as teenagers do. So kind of as a result of that, I didn't really give my studies the attention they needed. And after the first year at uni, I decided to drop out. I went back to live with my parents in Essex, and I got a job doing administration for a housing association. And while I was there, I actually sort of discovered that I really enjoyed working for the housing association. So they sort of put me on a fast track management programme. I did a HNC in housing studies and social policy through the Chartered Institute of Housing, and then spent the next sort of 10 to 12 years working in social housing, specialising in estate management and antisocial behaviour management. So closing down crack houses and getting asbos against people, which is quite different from wedding photography.
Okay, so when did the leap come from doing that to picking up a camera and taking photos? Were you taking photos at that time?
No, not at all. So probably the first time I'd ever consciously taken photos was when I went travelling around Southeast Asia in 2007. I bought a compact camera to take with me, and I hadn't really ever used a camera before that. I'd never even owned a camera before that, I don't think. And I just really enjoyed sort of documenting my trip. And then shortly after I got back, I met my husband, and he's a graphic designer and was quite into photography as well, and would take his little compact camera everywhere with him. And that sort of quite interested me. So not long after that, I decided to buy an SLR and book myself on a night school course and learn how to use it.
Was that quite a technical course or the very sort of...
Again, completely opposite. So I did fine art photography
at
night school. But prior to that, I had done like a couple of practical workshops. So like an introduction to your SLR, advanced use of your SLR, just to kind of get to grips with how it worked on a practical level. And then after that, kind of most of the training that I've ever done has been fairly inspiration based rather than technical.
And what sort of things were you taking photographs of when you first bought your SLR?
Everything except people. So I loved taking photos of urban landscapes, and in a very sort of A-level art project kind of way, I loved taking photos of bits of rubbish in the streets, and architecture and anything about the urban environment, really. And never, ever, and ever any people, ever.
So whilst you were doing that, did you think at that time that photography might be a career for you, or was it just a hobby at that time?
Yeah, I think it was a hobby at that time, really. I think the tipping point came when one of my friends asked me to photograph their wedding, and I tried to talk them out of it as hard as I could, because why would you want someone who didn't photograph people ever to photograph your wedding? But they basically said to me, well, we're not going to have a photographer, so bring your camera along and do what you can. And I kind of really like a challenge. So I thought, well, I'm not just going to turn up and do what I can. What I'm going to do is plan as much as I can to photograph it as well as I can, given the circumstances. So I bought a few books. I think like Damien Lovegrove's book was in there, and a couple of other books about wedding photography. Read everything I could about it. And then I hired in the kit that I needed to shoot the wedding.
Okay. How did it go?
It was all right, actually. Yeah. I mean, there are... For someone that had never photographed anything like that before, I got some quite good shots. I got some terrible shots where they're stood in a car park and I'm shooting straight into the sun, and there are about 500 people in the background, and I didn't really know how to shoot into the sun. And so there's that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the pictures are good in a sort of what you might expect when you think of wedding photography kind of way. So
how did you... make the step from that then to where you are now?
So after that, I really enjoyed shooting that wedding and thought I'd love to do a bit more of this. So most people cringe when I say I did exactly what you're not supposed to do. Shot a friend's wedding, advertised on Gumtree, shot a few more weddings for free or for sort of really tiny fees. And then actually I was just really, really lucky at that point because someone I know asked me to photograph their wedding. I still didn't charge them very much for it, but they ended up having quite a cool wedding in a London pub with the Route Master bus and a fur coat, no knickers dress. And I managed to get that wedding on Rock My Wedding. So I think that was about the fourth wedding that I'd photographed. And I just started getting inquiries from there, really.
Yeah, and so did you carry on studying photography, or were you then just kind of flying along and...
Oh, I'm a massive workshop junkie, so I go to loads. In fact, that's how I met you. So I met Matt at Steve Gerrard's workshop, so that was one of the first workshops I ever did. And actually, I met quite a lot of people at that workshop that I'm still really good friends with now, like Mick Shah, for example. And then I've done all sorts over the years. So Emma Case I've done, or Emma and Pete now, as I should say. I've done Fur, I've done Daniel Aguilera, I've been to Photo Field Trip in California twice, and I'm going back for a third time at the start of next year. And then I've done courses at Central St. Martin's, sort of more focusing on the fine art side of things, and actually even started my own workshop. Not that I teach personally, but the Snap Photography Festival that I sort of curate, I suppose. So I love a workshop.
Yeah, and what do you take from each of those workshops? Are they still helping you along the way?
Yeah, I mean, they've always... everyone that I've done has been quite calculated, really, to give me something specific. So I don't just sort of go to things without having an idea in mind what I want to get out of them. Aside from probably Field Trip, which is really inspiration-based. And for me, doing something at the start of wedding season that kind of really gets me fired up and excited about shooting the season is a really, really good start to the year.
Do you need that to kind of get yourself back in gear?
I don't know. I don't know, because I've kind of done that every year. So 3 years ago, I did Welcome Home at the start of wedding season. And then the last 2 years, I've done Field Trip at the start of wedding season. And then prior to that, there wasn't really a prior to that. So prior to that was like my first year. So yeah, for me, it's kind of about just not, I'm not a kick up the bum, that's not the right way of describing it, but just kind of like firing me up, reigniting my passion. And it just helps me to remember why I love doing this so much, I think.
And at what point then did you think, yes, I can do this full time, I'm going to quit my job, and this is going to be my job now?
So that was 2012 when I quit my job. Where are we now, 2015? So yeah, 3 years ago.
And what were the thoughts running through your head at that time?
It was very irresponsible, to be perfectly honest. So I had 20 weddings booked in for that year, but they were all at sort of like the 8, 9, 10 1100 mark. So definitely 20 weddings at that price point wasn't enough to sustain me in terms of kind of living expenses and stuff, especially living in London. But it just got to the tipping point where I couldn't balance both things anymore. So I just decided to quit my job, go for it, shoot my weddings over the summer, get a part-time job in the winter if I needed to, which I did that year, and just take the risk, really. And it paid off, thankfully. It could have gone the other way, I know.
Was there any point during that year when you thought, actually, this isn't going to work, I'm not making enough money, this is the wrong decision?
Yeah, that autumn, just before I started the part-time job over the winter, and I was living off deposits for a while, and there were a couple of months where I didn't know how I'd pay my rent next month. But kind of the way I think about that is actually, as wedding photographers, we're in a much more fortunate position than any freelancer ever in the whole world. And a lot of freelancers, that's just life being a freelancer. You don't necessarily know where the next paycheck is coming from. So you sort of have to reconcile yourself to that a little bit, I think. But it's since then, it's been fine and really stable. So
at that moment, and when you were living those deposits, did that kind of drive you on to think, right, I need to up my game and up my business? Or were you thinking, actually, I have made the wrong decision, maybe I should look at getting a proper job again?
I don't think I was thinking either of those things, really. I think I was just thinking, well, you know, I'll just poodle along and see what happens. And as I say, I not long after that started looking for a part-time job over the winter. And I did office management 3 days a week for a software development company. And that sort of gave me the security to make it through the winter. And then the following year, I shot 45 weddings. So it kind of righted itself.
45 weddings is a lot of weddings.
Yeah, and I used to do engagement shoots as a complimentary part of the package. So that year I did 45 weddings, 45 engagement shoots and quite a few styled shoots. And I sort of walked out of that year feeling like I'd been run over by a bus.
So how do you manage now? How do you manage your time? Do you put a cap on your amount of shooting?
It sort of naturally righted itself as my prices have gone up. So this year, between me and Alice is my associate photographer, we're shooting 40 weddings and 35 of those are mine. And I probably do about 10 engagement shoots on top of that. And actually now with Snap and the planning that goes into that, 35 weddings is way too many for next year. So next year I'll probably be looking, well, I'm saying 25 in my head, but I don't know if I'll stick to that. I probably, if the bookings come and I want to work with the couples, I'll probably book them in. So
yeah, it's hard to turn down nice inquiries, isn't it?
Yeah, when you get excited about something, and yeah, I mean, a lot of inquiries you get, you just really want to be a part of it. So yeah, it is hard. This is how we end up doing the doubles and the triples and...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that story with us. Who or what inspires your work now then? And is it the same sort of people who inspired you when you started?
There are a few wedding photographers whose work I really, really love. At the moment, people that inspire me quite a lot are people like Nick Tucker. I just love his work and I think he's doing something really, really different from a lot of other people. And he's got quite a unique offering. I've told him this to his face as well. So I must stop complimenting him or he'll get a massive head. In terms of like outside of that, Carl Group is someone that really, really inspires me. He's a lecturer at Central St Martin's. A commercial photographer, and he actually spoke at Snap, and I've been on various workshops of his over the years, and I just keep going back because he's such a knowledgeable, inspiring force, and it's sort of really, for me, it's nice to kind of look at photography outside of weddings to try and draw inspiration that way. Films quite a lot, so like Wes Anderson films, I really, really like cinematography, and I will try and just sort of like watch a random film every now and again, but it's usually with Facebook going on in the background, so I don't necessarily follow the plot, I just look at the pictures. Reading, travel, my husband, who I'm waving at again, he's always been like a really big inspirational force for me. He shoots quite a lot of film, second shoots for me sometimes, and taught me to use the first ever camera that I bought. So I kind of like, in terms of who's been my biggest inspiration, it's been him, because I literally wouldn't be doing this if I hadn't met him. So.
Okay, and my next question is about the biggest influence on your life. I guess your husband might...
Yeah, I mean, it's really funny. We had this conversation when we first got together and I told Pete that I didn't have a creative bone in my body. And a couple of years after that, he laughed at me about that. So it's just really interesting that kind of you can meet people that have such a big impact on your life that your life completely changes and your direction changes and kind of it opens up a whole new world to you.
And is he still having that sort of influence on him, or do you have an influence back on him now?
I don't know. He often says that I do inspire him quite a lot, and he says he's very proud of me, so that's nice.
It's very nice. Well done, Pete.
Well done, Pete. He's gone a bit red over in the corner.
Oh, bless him. All right, what excites you? What makes you get out of bed in the morning?
It's really hard to get me out of bed in the morning, so... However exciting something is, it's still a struggle. I just really love adventure and exploring. I love to travel. One of the things I've always loved about photography is that it's the whole thing is just an exploration for me. It's an exploration of my creativity. You're exploring the stories of the people that you're working with. You're exploring your environment. And that's just that's what I find really, really exciting about it.
Okay, and conversely to that then, what scares you?
everything. So yeah, I am generally quite an anxious person. And I was talking to my to Pete the other week about the fact that I'd gone for a walk in quite a secluded area, and I spent the whole time just feeling slightly anxious that I was going to get attacked by a dog or mugged. Or so yeah, I just walked through my whole life feeling worried, which is quite good fun.
Being like that, does that sort of drive you on as well, or make you kind of extra aware of what's going on around you?
Maybe. I mean, it certainly doesn't hold me back to any great extent. I'm luckily not one of the people that sort of suffers from crippling anxiety and can't leave the house. I just figure that you could, you've just got to overcome things sometimes, haven't you, and kind of try to do your best to work around them. So
our next question is one of our favourites. It's nothing to do with photography, but I thought I'd throw it in there, and it's, what's your favourite swear word?
Well, I know we sort of talked briefly about this over email, but I just can't do it, Matt, so I'm going to say bollocks.
Okay. Well, that's very controlled of you. And, you know, you never know, your parents might be listening. So.
Yeah, exactly. And my mum would be furious if I dropped the C-bomb, so, yeah.
Yeah, but what's likely to make you swear? Do you have a bit of a potty mouth as it is, or...?
Terrible. Well, I'm fine sort of in front of clients and things like that, but yeah, in front of my friends, I swear like a sailor.
Yeah, I think a lot of creative people do, but we should be more creative with our vocabulary, perhaps.
Yeah, bring back some like old retro swear words, maybe.
Well, I'm just waiting for somebody to come out with an old retro swear word. But, you know, Shakespeare did make up most of the swear words that we use now.
Just like, so go around biting your thumb at people.
Yeah, most of them are retro if Shakespeare made them up. If you could be anything else for a day, and you've been a few things, what else would you be?
What would I like to be? Do you know, I did have a flirtation with wanting to be a scuba diving teacher for a while. So when I did my sort of stint in Southeast Asia, the dream for about 3 weeks is that I'd sort of stay on and do my dive master and learn to teach scuba diving. But that didn't really happen. And we don't really scuba dive much anymore because Pete doesn't like getting his face wet, so.
Okay.
He's pulling a look. Sorry, Pete.
Pulling a wet face.
Yeah, so, or a dolphin. I could be a dolphin and then I wouldn't need the scuba gear.
Okay, well, you'd just have to swim around without Pete then. Who, living or dead, would you like to photograph?
I had a really long think about this, and actually there isn't really any one person that I'd like to photograph more than anyone else. So I just really love the process and kind of exploring the subject matter, rather than it being specifically about the subject matter. So anyone, maybe sort of like doing a day of documentary shooting in the court of Queen Elizabeth or Queen Victoria or something.
Do you like to kind of find the sort of inner soul of people when you shoot them and bring that out, rather than actually saying, yeah, this person's done so-and-so, and that's why I want to photograph them?
Looking for the inner soul, kind of, but looking for the real is what I'm really after. And I just really love taking pictures that are people being real. And what I always say to my couples is, you might sort of like have a bit of a double chin because you're laughing so hard. You might be bright red and sweaty on the dance floor. If you spill a pint in your lap, I'm going to photograph that. So it's kind of just providing people with a set of images that are true to life and kind of get to the heart of who they really are.
Your one sentence of advice to another photographer. Now, it doesn't have to be one sentence, but
okay. It might be quite longer. So, When anyone ever asks me for advice, I always trot out this piece of advice that Dan O'Day gave to me and lots of other people on his workshop at Field Trip about 2 years ago. And it's just really resonated with me. And every time kind of people tell me that they're feeling a bit of creative doubt, I sort of regurgitate the story that he said told about. What he said was, if you're a black belt in karate, you don't get to be a black belt in a day or a week or a month or a year or even 5 years. It takes years and years and years of training to be a black belt. And then once you're a black belt, you have to continually practice and train to maintain that standard. And he sort of said the same applies to photography. You don't get to be Dan O'Day. He didn't say that because that would sound quite conceited. But the sort of analogy was, you don't get to be all of these photographers that you aspire to be in a week or a month. And you don't get to be the best version of yourself as an artist in a week or a month or a year. And that's just always inspired me when I'm having sort of like a down period about my work, or I'm feeling a bit, feeling kind of that artist's frustration, that what I need to do is just keep shooting and keep shooting and keep shooting and keep shooting. And I think that's a really nice way of getting through the tough times, because it can be quite a lonely and isolating job, and you can compare yourself to other people an awful lot, but you just don't know what their journey has been in compared to your journey.
When you are doing, you know, 30 weddings a year and you have a bit of downtime, do you set the camera aside or do you carry on shooting, like you just said?
It varies, really. It just depends when or where I am. So I shoot an awful lot on my iPhone. I'm doing a 365 project on my iPhone at the moment, which actually I'm already up to about 365 images. I shoot loads and loads and loads on that. And that's quite nice because there's no sort of like editing process attached to it. But Pete and I actually went to the seaside on Monday and I took my camera and took a few pictures. So yeah, it just depends what my workload's looking like. But I shoot a lot on my phone is the answer.
Yeah, it's just handy to have that little camera in your pocket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this. And I'm sure lots of people have found what you've said to be useful. Who else should I be interviewing? Who would you like to hear from?
Can I say two people?
Yeah, you can say as many as you like.
All right, okay. So first of all, so maybe three then. Yeah, I've got a list. So you should interview Jacob Loafman. He's one of my friends that lives in the US. And he's just a really, really inspiring person because he is all about constantly pushing himself to create something new or try different techniques. Like, he uses a lot of prisms and things like that in his work, but he just really strikes me as someone that's always trying to creatively push himself forward, and I find that really, really inspiring. If you want to sort of speak to someone from a fashion background, Rosella Vannon, who, and you might have heard it here first, is lined up to be one of our speakers at the next Snap. She's really, really fab, and she's actually had quite a short journey. She's not been around, I think she's been around less time than I have, and she shoots really, really beautiful, interesting fashion images. She's amazing with lighting. And then, yeah, Carl Group, so you can get in contact with him via the Mango Lab, and he's just brilliant. So fine art photographer, commercial photographer, knows everything there is to know about sort of the history of photography, and he's just a really inspiring guy.
Fabulous. Thank you, Laura. Before you leave us, give yourself a little plug and tell us where we can find out more about you and more about Snap as well.
So you can find me at www.babphoto.com, babbphoto.com, not Bab Photography. That's some imposter that wants to be me when they grow up. No, that's not true, but there is a Bab Photography and I'm a bit furious about it. And then you can find Snap at www.snapphotofestival.com. Is that right? I'm asking Pete. Hang on. Yes, snapphotofestival.com. The dates for the next Snap are the 18th to the 22nd of April.
Fabulous. Thank you for that little tidbit there. We will speak to you soon. Good luck with Snap.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, thank you, Laura. If you're enjoying Phototypes, please do give us a review and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. We're on Acast as well as iTunes and SoundCloud. Now, with Acast, you can get enhanced content. So, for example, when Laura talks about Snap Photography Festival, a link will pop up to take you to their website. Phototypes is produced and presented by me, Matt Bowen, with music from Nick Bentley, Songs for Cash and Soft Piano.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.